We're supposed to be in the gospel records and talking about the day that Jesus arose from the grave. And we are going to talk about that a little bit, but we're going to look at it from a perspective of how the resurrection should affect a Christian's life, how the resurrection should affect the Christian's life. We sang that song, He Lives, just a few moments ago, and I always love the story that goes behind that song, He Lives. It talks about how there's a pastor that's there. His last name is interesting, is the same as it's Ackley. It's back in 1932. He's there on Resurrection Sunday's morning, and it says he was shaving, and he heard a well-known liberal preacher on the radio, and the preacher said, "Good morning, my friends. It's Easter Sunday morning. It really doesn't make any difference to me if Christ arose or not. All that matters is that his truth is marching on." And it says that the preacher obviously didn't like that. It does matter that Christ arose. And he said that he says he started yelling at the radio, "It's a lie." He said, "That's a lie." His wife comes in and says, "What are you yelling about?" And he says, "Did you hear what that preacher said?" And then he was upset. And he says, he explained to his wife earlier in the week, he was talking to a Jewish college student who asked this question, "Why should I worship a dead Jew?" And that's where the man came up, and he was fired up to preach that morning. He preached about the resurrection. Those that came back Sunday night, he kept on. He preached about the resurrection again. And that night, he's still pacing the floor, concerned about how someone could say that worshiping a dead Jew was what Christianity was about, or how someone who represented Christianity would say, doesn't matter if he rose from the dead or not. And his wife, Mrs. Ackley, turns to him and says, "Hey, why don't you do what you do best?" Says, "Go write a song about it. So that way, when we're gone, this message will still go across." And he went back in his study and very quickly wrote down the words, "He Lives." And I always enjoy that song. I always think about the importance that reminds us. And it's just not about feelings. We've always learned and heard about, you know, feelings, our heart can be deceitful, all those different things. There is many infallible proofs that show us that Jesus rose from the dead. He was seen by hundreds of people afterwards, and just evidence after evidence after evidence, the empty tomb, all those other things, having to pay off the soldiers, all those different things that happened, all the eyewitness accounts. But one of the greatest assurances in my heart and in my life is He lives. He lives in my heart today. He walks with me and talks with me. I met with Him this morning. I talked to Him this morning. And I'm not talking about in some eerie way, but I have a personal relationship with God. And through Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And He walks with me and talks. I mean, it's truth. And I'm thankful for that. And it's the importance of the resurrection. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I do want you to consider some things with me this morning. How should the resurrection affect a Christian's life or anyone's life? And we saw the difference it made that morning. It's going to be a little different walking around and preaching with all these things. It's like it's an obstacle course up here, but that's okay. That morning, they were sad. They were fearful. After Jesus had died on that cross and as He had given His life, and you can go back, and we don't want to spend a lot of time, but you consider the sufferings that He went through, all those things He experienced. We sat yesterday and we talked we had a really nice Super Saturday, had over 20 young people here yesterday. It was really nice. And some of them had never really ever heard the story about Jesus being betrayed and dying on the cross and rising again. And I got to teach the section about Him being crucified on the cross, and I could see their eyes because we had talked about how this man had never done anything wrong. We asked him, he says, "Of all the stories we've heard, had this man ever done anything wrong?" The answer is no. How had he ever done anything that he should have been convicted of a crime? Because we talked about the injustice that was there when he was betrayed and how the court case went through and how he was tried. And even I had the opportunity to talk about how he spoke with Pilate and how Pilate sentenced him to death, even though he tried to say it wasn't his decision. And I looked at him, but as I began, and once again, they're children, but I began to talk a little bit about what it was like for him to be whipped and for him to have a crown of thorns placed upon his head and how he was laid out and they put the spikes, the nails through his hands and through his feet. And what it would have been like a little bit. Once again, they were children, so I know most children see more violence today on TV, but not all children do. But you could have seen their eyes when they were hearing the story about this lovely man who'd done nothing but helped and healed the sick and raised the dead and fed the 5,000 and walked on the water and taught unlike anyone else who ever taught, had never done anything wrong, and they chose for him to be crucified over Barabbas. And there gets to think that he went through all those things. And then to understand that he went through all those things for us, because of us, because of our sin. And it was as challenging to think about and as challenging to forget. And you're not supposed to forget. You know, at the cross, those things, life is put in perspective. When we see him dying on that cross and we see him suffering for us and our sins are placed upon him, it changes our perspective. And if we stay near the cross, as we survey the wondrous cross, it does teach us, I should be willing to give him everything. He gave it all for me. God, the Son of God, co-equal with God, became man. The whole purpose why he became man wasn't just to, wasn't even the higher priority about healing the people and helping the people. His greatest work was to seek and to save that which was lost, to tell the world there was a need of a Savior, and that even though they wanted a Messiah that was going to come and overthrow Rome and reign and as a political way and give the Jewish the freedoms that had been promised years earlier, but he came for a spiritual reason, that there was a world that was lost and dying in sin, and he came to pay our sin debt for us. And he can offer that. The Bible, and the verse for the week, or the verse the last 2 weeks, we teach them a verse every 2 weeks, same one, so they can get it. And they remember, for the wages of sin is death. And we explained a little bit what that death means to be eternally separated from God forever. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if he had died on that cross and stayed in that tomb, he could not have offered that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. It wouldn't have mattered. Christianity would have been just like any other religion. Their founder or their leader would have been in a tomb. But that wasn't the case. He was more than a man. He was the man that became, he was God that became man, just as much God as he was man. Laid aside his glory to come and live this perfect life. Offer that sacrifice. I know as you go by and you consider and you walk past Calvary, I don't know about you, but as I walk past Calvary a number of times this week, it's meant a lot to me. And it humbles me. It makes me want to submit and surrender to his will and desires for my life. If we don't walk past Calvary, if we don't see Calvary, we don't understand it all. We only hear about the empty tomb. We think about the rejoicing and the excitement that's involved and the proof that there's the power in the Savior. I understand all that. But sometimes if we don't walk past Calvary each and every day, we're going to think, hey, what's the big deal? I'm a Christian. I'm on the way to heaven. I can live whatever way I want. I can do whatever I want. But when I see him suffering for my sins and for your sins, it reminds me, it continues to remind me that I want to live for him as he came and lived for me. But we're here today to celebrate what the resurrection looks like. We're not celebrating the fact that he died on the cross. We're celebrating the fact he rose from the grave. And what that means for us, and I know I alluded to this a little bit earlier, but look what it says in the first thing is how it should affect our lives is it means that Christianity is real. It means that it's real. It doesn't mean that we have anything to be sorry for. It means that we have the truth and that the followers who were there when they came to the tomb that day, they were expecting the body to be there. But can you imagine the hope that was there because the stone was rolled away and because the tomb was empty and because the angels had appeared and spoke to them and Jesus himself had appeared and spoke to many of them. And that it changed from those few days of despair and those few days of being, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I've just given these last 3.5 years of my life. I committed to this man, this Messiah, whoever he was, but now he's in the grave. He was crucified. I watched him be crucified. But when they went to that tomb and they saw that it was empty, they saw that he was gone, everything changed. And I tell you, that's the way it should be for us, that we're not trying to peddle something as other people are that's not real, that's not true. We're not trying to sell them something they don't need, because there's people all over the world today trying to get rich off of, hey, you need this. And they put commercials out there and they put ads out there trying to say, you need this. No, we have the truth. We have the reality. We have what the world needs. It needs a Savior. It needs a risen Savior. And that's what we have. It's the truth of reality. Jesus Christ is what this world needs. And when he arose from that tomb, it cemented that. I'm sure for a few days there that most, as we can see, most of the followers of Jesus, they were there. Mary Magdalene was there weeping at the tomb with another woman, gets crushed about him dying. And she was coming that day, and she wasn't coming that day, and those ladies weren't coming that day to, hey, I see that the tomb's empty. Remember, he said he was going to rise. They were sorrowful. They were weeping. They didn't have that hope. But when they found out about that hope, their lives were changed forever. And when we hear this story of the hope that's found in the fact that the tomb is empty, our lives should be changed forever. We don't serve a dead Savior. We don't serve a weak Savior. We don't serve someone that cannot help us in this life. We serve a risen Savior, but so often Christians live a life like they're defeated and they're still dealing with so much issues and struggles, where Jesus Christ says, look, there's an empty tomb, I can help you. It means that Christianity is real. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. Look what it says in verses 13 and 14. It said, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. I can imagine. I want to be careful, but I can imagine that someday in eternity, there is, I would say, at least millions, maybe even billions, if you consider a long period of time, of people who have believed things in vain. There's a lot of false religions out there. We think about Islam, and we think about Muhammad, who's in the grave. And we think about Buddhism, and we think about Buddha, who's in the grave. We think about Mormonism, and we think about, I think it's Joseph Smith that's in the grave. And you think about the Jehovah's Witnesses and all those different things. And I'm not picking on them. I'm just telling them that what this verse is saying is that it's that our faith would be in vain if Jesus Christ didn't raise from the dead. We be living and believing in a dead individual. And all those other religions that I mentioned, they all get Jesus Christ wrong. And if you get Jesus Christ wrong, then the Bible talks about, they don't say that Christ came in the flesh, talking about he was God that became in the flesh in 1 John. If they don't say that, then they're not of God. It says they're not of God. And that's what this is saying here. The reason why the resurrection is so important, the reason why we celebrate the resurrection, the reason why we get so excited about this, the reason why we show up on a 6:45 on a Sunday morning to remember what that hope looked like when those ladies first walked up to that tomb, and when they went back and Peter and John runs to the tomb and all those different things that happened, the hope that came into their life is the same hope as we walk not just past Calvary to see the sufferings, we walk past the empty tomb to see that Christianity is real and what we believe is real and is truth. And we know it's true because there was an empty tomb. And it says, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain. If he hadn't risen, there's no sense sitting here listening to me. There's no sense believing in the faith that's there, but we know it's true because he has risen from the grave. Second thing I want you to think about, not only does it mean that Christianity is real and that should affect our lives, We're not like everybody else. We're not passing off something and trying to give out something that's not necessary. We're giving a life-changing, life-saving message that Jesus Christ not only died and was buried, he rose again. But it should affect our lives because it teaches us, it means that Jesus is more powerful than sin and death. It teaches us that Jesus is more powerful than sin and death. Look down here in these verses, in verses 26 and 27. It says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. But for he hath put all things under his feet, talking about the feet of Jesus. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. Now I'll go look at verses 54 through 58. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Many of you know that we lost a friend last night. And I could sit there and I could sit with her husband and talk about how I told him what we're going to be talking about in the service to follow in the 10 o'clock service. A little bit strange for a Resurrection Sunday message, but it was the fact that the hope that is found in the believer. It's because of the fact that they're going to rise again someday. And when you look at this and you think about it, the sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to verse 55 when it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Didn't have victory in her life. Because we know she's going to rise again. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we could encourage and give hope to one another. And the fact that we're going to see her again today and that she's being taken care of. She's with the Lord and her body will rise again someday. We know that's proof. We know that's true because of the fact he rose from the grave. And because he arose from the grave, we know he will also cause us to be risen again too. It means that Jesus is more powerful than sin and death. And because of that, you see here in the story that the grave, the sting was taken away of death and the strength of sin was. Jesus conquered all that when he rose from the dead. He conquered death, the grave, and the hell. He holds the keys. And it's amazing to think about. But this is what that morning looked like for them. You imagine sometimes Christians get discouraged and Christians lose hope. Walk past Calvary. Walk past the empty tomb. And they're saying because the grave is, the sting is gone and the victory, where is it at for the grave? Where is it for the death? And it's saying in verse 58, we should be steadfast. We should be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so many times in the believer's life, they're not steadfast. They're not unmovable. They may be stubborn, but they're not always abounding in the work of the Lord because they're discouraged or they're overwhelmed. They're being petty and there's other things. We serve a risen Savior that can do all things. Get our eyes off the circumstance of this world and live for Him. He came to die for the sins of mankind. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And He gave us commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But so often we don't stay steadfast or unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord because we forget about that empty tomb. We get discouraged, we get overwhelmed, and we don't think we can go forward, but Christianity is real. Jesus is more powerful than sin and death. The next thing I think it believes, it even becomes more personal. It means that you have been liberated to not serve sin. It means you have been liberated to not serve sin. Take your Bible to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, we try to make this even more personal, talk about the resurrection, not just how it affects the world and the effects that make Christianity real, but let's make it real to us. Let's see what it should look like when it says, hey, we should be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why is that? Because he did rise from the dead. Because of the fact that because death has lost this thing and the grave has lost this power over a believer. Romans 6, it says in verse number 9, it says, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death, now look what it says, death have no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. And it says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This teaches us and this shows us we do not have to remain in our sins. We do not have to stay in our sins. It says in verse number 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. And the Bible says in verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. God. And this is how it affects the Christian's lives, as we realize because Christianity is real and he rose from the dead, he has power over sin and death. But that becomes something personal for us in Romans chapter 6. He gives us the opportunity to have victory over sin. So often, yes, we talk about death. We know death. We know, yes, I'm going to rise again someday. We hold to that. We get excited about that. We say amen for that. But he's saying that we can have victory over sin even today in our own lives. Look what it says in verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Look what it says, that henceforth we should not serve sin. If we really truly want to celebrate the Resurrection Sunday today, we would get over some of our sins. We would confess our sins, get those right, and realize and live in the power of a resurrected Savior, that he gives us the ability to, as it says in verse 13, to yield our bodies, even though it might feel like, hey, I need to sin, I need to do this. No, no, no. He says you can yield your bodies as instruments of righteousness and not yield your bodies as instruments of unrighteousness. Because it says in verse number 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Look what it says in verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Why do we continue living in those sins? He has given us the ability. He has given us with his help to yield our bodies, to have victory over sin. And that's what the empty tomb realizes, helps us to see. Yes, obviously he conquered death, he conquered grave, he conquered the hell, but he has given us this opportunity. And so often we don't live like we're serving a resurrected Savior, or live like we serve, there's an empty tomb. Instead, we feel like we continue to live in this life where he's saying, this is not how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to, as it says in verse number 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. We going through somebody with discipleship and talking about baptism, and they're going to get baptized here in a little while. And it says that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We should be walking in newness of life, but so many of us are still walking in the past and the sin and in those things that brought death before. And he died for those things. And he says, now come, walk in newness of life. No longer do you have to walk like you're held back by that sin, because we were servants of sin. But the Bible says, whatever we yield ourselves to, we become servants to whom we obey. And whether it's servants unto righteousness or servants unto sin, unto death. Look, it says in verse 16, know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Who are you serving today? We celebrate, I'm serving a risen Savior. Then our lives should be saying, God has given us the power and ability to overcome sin, and I do not have to remain in this sin. I can rise up by God's power and God's strength, and I can yield my body. I can confess my sins. I can be right with God, and I can live for him today. Last but not least, it means you have a living hope. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter is towards the back of your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1. And you got to think, because you know how much we've been talking about this word blessed, because of it's our theme for the year. And this is a different blessed word, but we're going to throw that in here on, right, Resurrection Sunday morning. You got to have that word blessed in there. So it says in verse number 3, Blessed be the God. Now, this is not talking about the happiness that we've talked about. It's not talking about the supreme life that God can bless, but it's talking about an adoration, a praise. We should praise be the God. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He should be lifted up. He's somebody we should praise. Now, look what it says. Which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope. Those that were coming to the tomb did not have that living hope. But when the tomb was empty, we have that living hope. We did not have that living hope. We did not know and then not, we could not mourn unlike others that sees people that pass away as unbelievers until the day we saw that we were a sinner, until the day we saw we needed a Savior, until the day we called upon the Lord, and then we became a believer and became a Christian as we repent of our sins and cry out to God and by faith ask Him to save us. That's when we had that living hope. As I mentioned, as I was talking last night, there obviously is mourning when someone that you love passed away. But there's still that hope. Why is that? That hope is because we know that because He raised from the dead, He will also take us, raise us from the dead too. So how does the resurrection affect our lives? We can sit here and celebrate and talk about all the great things and how it did this and did that and talk about all the different things. But what should it mean to you? It should mean that you have a real, you have something real that you believe. You don't have to question it. You don't have to feel sorry for it. You do not have to water it down. It's something that's truth, and it's something because He rose. It's something because I'm sure those 3 days that they were there and those that did not remember that Jesus was going to rise from the dead, I'm sure there are those who mocked the disciples or mocked the followers. Hey, what happened to that dead Messiah? What happened to that guy that you said was going to deliver us? What happened? I'm sure there's people there. And during those days, they didn't have much hope. They didn't have much that was going on for them. They didn't. But when that tomb was empty, what happens to their lives? They're transformed. There are people before that maybe was meek and maybe were mild and for those 3 days were confused. But those disciples, they saw that empty tomb. What happened with those 11? They went up and they turned the world upside down in the book of Acts. They went through and you saw church after church after church planted. Thousands of people saved. Why is that? Because they had a living hope. And today, do you have a living hope? A couple things about that. Has there been a time in your life that you believe what the Bible said? God convicted you of your sins and said to you and helped you realize, I need a Savior. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That we're all sinners. We're all headed to a horrible eternity in a horrible place called hell. But God commended His love toward us that while we were yet sinners, like as we were headed towards hell, Christ died for us. Why did He die for us? To pay our sin debt for us. And those who will call upon Him, those who will turn to Him, those, as the Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Those people who turn to the Lord, put their faith and trust in Him, give themselves over to Him, don't trust in themselves anymore. I'm not talking about if you believe in a God. The Bible talks about how the devils believe and even that the devils tremble, and there's not many that tremble today. But I'm talking about, has there been a time and a moment in your life when God has convicted you of your sin? You saw that you were a sinner. You saw that you were lost. You saw that you were headed to a horrible place called hell, and you cried out to the Lord and asked Him to save you. Because only those who have put their faith and trust in Him have this living hope. And this morning, if you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, we would love to have somebody take a Bible and show you how that Jesus rose from the dead and that we can put our faith and trust in what He did for us. Secondly, for those that have that living hope, do you live like you have that living hope? Do you live like you serve a risen Savior? Do you live like the tomb is empty? Do you live like He has the power not only to conquer death and grave and hell, but He has given us the ability, and because He lives inside of us, to be able to live a victorious Christian life? Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory. Through who? Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, we serve a risen Savior. Let that affect our lives. Help us understand that we don't have anything to apologize, that we have the truth and Christianity is real. We do not have to be shy about it. We do not have to be quiet about it. It's something this world needs. It means that Jesus was more powerful than sin and death. But personally, it means that He has liberated us not to have to serve sin. And it means that we have a living hope today. Do you have that living hope? This morning, I hate for you to come and celebrate with us the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and it not mean something to you personally. not mean that you understand that Jesus Christ lived and died for us. This past year, as I've been looking at this and studying and reading through all this, coming to the moment and the thought, what he died for me because he loved me. And he died for me. But also, he died because of my sins. It wasn't just because he loved me, he died because of my sins also. He was on that cross because of what I did. Now, I know it wasn't just me, but make that personal. He died because of my sins. Because he couldn't have died for my sins if it wasn't because me that put him there. And that humbles me. It makes me want to say, I don't want to live in sin. I want to do what's right. This morning, we serve a risen Savior. He lives. He lives. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. In just a second, we're going to have a short time invitation, and the invitation is this: celebrate the Lord today. But don't celebrate just with your voice. Celebrate by making Christianity real to you, by maybe making a promise, I'm going to live for you, by understanding that he had the power over sin and death, and he gave us, lives through us, to where we can have victory over sin, and that we have a living hope. During your invitation time, what we have is we ask people, if God's spoken to their heart, they come forward and they pray around the altar. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you want to know what it means to be a Christian or on your way to heaven, come forward. We'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Our assistant pastor, Brother Christian, will be standing down here. And he will be, if you come, if you're a man, he'll have a man go back in the back and just take as long as you want and just explain to you what the Bible says, what it means to be born again. If you're a lady, the same thing. Take as long as you need to be able to explain to you how a person can be saved and on their way to heaven. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I am so thankful I serve a risen Savior. Lord, it cements the fact that what we believe is truth. And Lord, that every other religion over the years, there has been so many. We named a few of the larger ones, but there are so many people who have said, you can trust me, you can have hope in me. But every person that's ever said that has died and is in a tomb today. But Lord, we have one who was able to tell Martha, I believe, I am the resurrection and the life, that he was able to raise from the dead, and he did. And the tomb is not empty, and we can believe and trust in him that he had the power over sin and death and the grave. He also has the power that he lives through us to where we can also have victory over sin. And God, we have a living hope. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning, young or old, that they do not have that living hope, but they don't have that assurance that if they died today, that they would go to heaven, or that they would talk to someone they could trust spiritually, that they would come forward. And we would love to show them from the Word of God how they can be saved. Lord, speak to people's hearts. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Help us to take these few moments of invitation to just thank you for what you did. And Lord, make it personal. Help us to see how the resurrection should affect us. Help us to get our hearts right if there's something wrong. Help us to rejoice and establish that I'm going to be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I'm going to be steadfast because there's a risen Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So go ahead and stand.